When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
In 2021, we did 100 consecutive Ironman. So an Ironman a day for a quarter of a year, 14,000 plus miles, all to raise money to eradicate sex trafficking.
Never quit. Never quit radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Team Never Quit podcast. As always, thank you guys for listening and watching, and please hit that like and subscribe button if you'd like to see the show. So today, before we get to our special guest, let's kick it off with our weekly Patreon question. And today we have got... If you were going to learn one skill instantaneously, what would it be?
Mine would be to speak another language.
That would be pretty cool.
I would love to be able to speak other languages. I'm horrible at learning other languages, so that would be mine.
What about you, brother?
Skill set? The art of persuasion and communication.
Boom.
That's a nice one.
Negotiation. That's the one. The word, right?
Yeah, there it is.
That's exactly right. It was a toss-up between everything medicine, like all the healing power thing, but definitely I'm going to go with you on that one, James, the word.
And be able I like to it.
Thing around for sure, man. That's a good one, actually. Mm-hmm. Right on. All right, brother. James, thanks for coming on here and doing it. I can't wait to get into your backstory, brother, because I think I got my hands on a Guinness Book of World Records for the first time, maybe third or fourth grade. I just remember that being a big deal. That name, and then thumbing through that sucker and never ever thinking you'd get into it.
I know. Yeah, I was the same way as a kid. I looked forward to getting kind of the new copy and then just going through it and just seeing all the crazy feats and the tallest dude and the biggest dude and the longest nails.
Is that what you said? The longest fingernails? That's great.
Yeah. I mean, there's just crazy stuff out there.
Well, okay, so where were you, where did this all start for you, man? Where were you born?
Yeah, I actually grew up in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and just grew up in a great home. My dad was a firefighter, career firefighter his entire life. And so that's all I knew, is he was out there serving and saving and doing that thing. I had a great mom, great home life, three sisters, was huge into athletics and sports, only one in my family. And the coaches and teammates became my mentors and my family. And really played all sports growing up, but then gravitated towards wrestling in high school, specialized in that, and just fell in love with kind of combat fighting. And just really that was the beginning of my understanding of how important mindset is and mental toughness. And then Calgary's actually world famous for something called the Calgary Stampede. It's one of the largest rodeos in the world. And my life changed at the Calgary Stampede. I entered a contest to see who could ride the giant Ferris wheel for the entire 10 days of the Stampede. And while I was on the Ferris wheel, I got fired from my job and then won the contest. And so I had a little bit of cash and some free time. And I had one friend in Utah, and I literally hitchhiked a ride in 1999 from Calgary to Utah, met my wife, and we've now celebrated 23 years of marriage. We've got 5 kids, 4 daughters and a son. And life's been just crazy fun and adventurous and obviously challenging along the way.
That is
crazy. We skipped some stuff. All right. Did you say 10 days on that thing?
Yeah, 10 days on the Ferris wheel.
Oh, I got to know. What day was it? And what was the most difficult part getting through that?
I stayed on for all 10 days. You had 2 10-minute breaks a day to eat and go to the bathroom. And their objective was complete boredom. And it's interesting because looking back at it now, I remember in the moment, for me, it was easy. And I didn't struggle at all, because I was comfortable having conversations with myself. I've been a dreamer my entire life, and I'm really good at also forgiving myself for mistakes that I've made in the past. And so really that gift of forgiveness and then dreaming is something that a lot of people don't have. And I now recognize that people are getting off the ride because they're just not comfortable in their own headspace, and they need that distraction, especially in today's day and age, where like we're in the world of 8-second dopamine hits. And it would be increasingly harder for this generation to do something like that because they've never had to be bored. They've never intentionally been in that space. And so like looking back at it now, I'm like, wow, that really started my journey to mental toughness. But I now recognize why individuals were quitting and getting off the ride and not seeing it through.
That is crazy.
You don't notice something like that until you have to go through it, like what the difference is between you and somebody else. And a lot of times we don't ask, like, hey, what was it that got you off of that? It was like the quiet, like I couldn't handle the peace and quiet. And then some people.
Yeah, and I would assume that they don't even recognize it either in the moment. And maybe not if they're not big into self-reflection, or they just chalked it up as, I'm not bred for that kind of thing. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Is that the first? So that was the first Guinness Book of world records that you won, right?
Yeah, I guess it's a record, but it wasn't an official Guinness one.
No, it wasn't. Okay.
You were just doing that, I thought.
Yeah, I was in my early 20s trying to figure out life, and they put up a big cash prize, and it was more than the minimum wage I was making at the golf course picking up golf balls.
That's so cool.
All right, so when do you find your niche, man? When that pushed you in one direction, it's almost like it opens a door. There are certain events in your life when you go through them and it usually takes something like this that makes you recognize that you have the ability to do something that catapults you to where.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely call it a pivot point. And you know, in life, we try to like plan life and stay on the path and, you know, not take risks. And I'm the complete opposite. I allow the ebb and flows of life. I don't see things as good or bad or ups and downs. I see them all as opportunities, and which way am I going to go? And I never know if a door that opens is to bless me or benefit me. And I try to tend to look at them all that way. And so when that happened, I saw it as an opportunity to come visit my friend, and that changed my life, obviously, because I met my wife and started to formulate my new life here in the United States and chasing the American dream. I didn't know anybody. I knew one person, and I had a little bit of money in my pocket. And I just started to figure things out, and eventually I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. And so opened up my own mortgage brokerage and started doing mortgages for people and lending, and got into real estate. and started my little family, started to have a couple kids, then got a mortgage, and you know, that whole American dream, I just described it. And then as life happens to us, the 08 economic crash happened, and it started in the mortgage sector, which is what my business was. And so we got hit pretty hard. Everybody did, but harder than most, I would say, because it was our career. And we ended up losing everything. We had to sell everything. We fought and fought and fought trying to survive and waiting for a market correction. And as you know, it took years and years for that sector to really come back. And we just weren't positioned in a space to weather that storm. And then they knocked on my door and took away my home. And I had four little girls at that time, and a fifth on the way, which happens to be my only son now. And so we were kind of at rock bottom. And it was in that moment where you can either woe is me and become the victim of the economy and the circumstances that were happening, or I tried to find the positive and the light from it. And so it really put me on a path. I was doing triathlon at the time. My wife and I found the triathlon community and kind of fell in love with it. And it led me to my very first Ironman. So at the same time that we lost everything in 08, I did my very first full distance triathlon, which is a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike ride. And then it finishes with a full marathon run, 26.2 miles, 140.6. And just had an incredible experience. The runner's high that you hear people talk about. And then
you got that? The runner's high. I ask runners all the time, because there's an actual high that you get.
Yeah.
I ran my ass off. I never got that.
Yeah, it's super rare and elusive, and I almost think it's more myth than reality. And when I say I had that high, it was just like the feeling of crossing that finish line and accomplishing something that very few people get to do. And then really that put us on a journey to where I got to reinvent myself and totally change career paths. And losing everything was ultimately one of the greatest gifts that's ever happened in my life. And it put us on the path that's changed our lives and thousands of other people's lives over the past 20 years.
Wow.
One door closes, another opens. They say that all the time. But
I think one door closes and 10 doors open.
Sure. Especially if you're walking in through that front door, man, there's plenty of rooms in there. When you're doing the triathlon, what's your hardest event? Which one gives you the most problems? Is it the run, the swim, or the bike?
Well, once you become proficient in all three, the swim becomes a formality, and you recognize that okay, this is the warm up for the rest of the race. The bike is the power part of it. You have to be really, really strong and be able to have the patience to dial it back. And then the race gets real when you have to start to run a marathon after 115 miles of work. And so the run gives most people the problems. And me too. I'm not a natural runner. I really gravitated towards cycling and love it. In fact, I just came off of a ride. I'm still wearing my cycling stuff. We live in Utah, and there's some unbelievable mountains here we can climb at any given day. But I would say for me, it's the run. Running's really hard on your body. And with the amount of volume that I've done, I just,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for the shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I prefer to cycle at this point.
So when did you get in your head you wanted to go for the Guinness Book record again.
Yeah, well, after you do your first Ironman, or like anything in life, when you do something, and you cross that line or have that moment or reach that mountaintop, your perspective changes on what's possible because you've changed. And once I did that, I was like, okay, how can I do that event, but do it faster, do it better? How do I feel better while doing it? And I was just chasing that pursuit. And then when we lost everything in the economy, we were right in the middle of this transition and everything was happening at the same time. I was just, I started a coaching business to where we were coaching other athletes because I was having really good success in my career, and I was figuring things out really fast. And so I was coaching kind of the newest members of the community. And I wanted to figure out a way, you know, entrepreneur and marketing, how do I separate myself from other coaches? How do I grow this part of my business? And so I looked up and tackled the first world record that we got was official 70.3, which is half Ironman distance races in a calendar year. And so we broke the world record for the most half Ironmans in a year, which was 22 Ironmans in 30 weeks. And it was kind of the beginning of my body and mind and spirit adapting to these really hard, long, physical and mental challenges. And then that led us to the 2012 world record where we did, official, full length Ironman races. The world record was 20 at the time. And I looked at the calendar and I looked at what was possible logistically and everything. And so we ended up committing to do 30 Ironmans through 11 countries in that year, and learned a ton on that journey with a lot of incredible experiences. And I got to see 11 different countries and ended up breaking that world record doing 30 in a year. And so those were the first two world records that really kind of put us on the trajectory for what we do now.
So out of everything that you've done, what was the hardest challenge or the hardest?
Yeah, that was my question. Yeah. What's the most memorable one that really got a hold of you?
Well, all the journeys as a whole are extremely difficult and challenging, especially when you're breaking world records and doing something that nobody else has done. And at the same time, doing them when everybody's telling you it's impossible and can't be done.
Is that what drives you?
No, nah, man, I don't listen to anybody else's garbage.
You're breaking all the records.
That's not what drives me either. I don't care. That's just a piece of paper. Yeah. I'm just really trying to find out what my limits are as a human, you know, both physically, mentally, and, you know, it's just like the 4-minute mile. Nobody else, everybody said it was impossible until one guy did it. And then the following year, three guys do it in the same race, you know, and now high school kids do it. And so I love setting new standards and watching other people attempt and break my records, because that means they're on a journey of self-discovery. And so for me, it's more about setting that bar and that standard for other people to show up and chase. And that's what really fires me up. But during the 2012 record, on race 27 of 30, we'd already broke the record. And so we were kind of doing victory laps with each and every Ironman. And I saw a video online of a young man who had cerebral palsy. And so he's just trapped inside of his body. He can't walk, talk, do anything for himself. But I saw a video of a sprint triathlon, which is a very short distance triathlon. His friend was pulling him through the event. And I ended up contacting the boy's family and said, hey, we're doing this world record. Any chance he'd like to be part of this journey? Can we do an Ironman together? And so we got it all arranged and set up. And on race 27 of 30 in Lake Havasu, Arizona, I had an opportunity to meet Dayton. That's his name, Dayton, for the very first time. And it was just incredibly challenging. I'd never pulled anybody through a race before. But man, it was life lessons that I still hold with me today. And it was one of the most difficult but most rewarding days that I had during that entire challenge.
Any one of the races when you were out there just grab you scenery wise, like, man, this is probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in my entire life?
Yeah, I really love Europe. I'm really drawn to the energy over there and the people and the culture. And I've just I've raced now in over 50 countries. I'm raced and spoke, but during the 2012, I really loved a race I did in France. And we went over a bunch of the mountain passes that the Tour de France went. It was in Lance Armstrong's heyday and Vinokourov. And I actually did one of the mountain climbs where it was like their names were spray painted on the road.
Oh, yeah.
The scenery was incredible. And I actually got to, it aligned perfectly with the Tour de France that year, and I got to go to a couple of the stages and watch. And so that was kind of a really cool memory during that 2012 record.
Awesome. We have a really good friend that has a daughter with cerebral palsy, and just picturing you pulling that young man through the finish line, that had to be an incredible moment for him. What did his family share with you about that?
Oh yeah, man. I mean, we were all in tears, and his mom ran the entire marathon with us, and my two oldest girls ran us into the finish line. It was really a team effort, and just the you could sense his joy as he was sitting there smiling. It was a really long day. It took us over 16 hours to complete it. And an Ironman has a 17-hour cutoff. And so we made the cutoff by 24 minutes.
Wow.
And so it was just really special that we got to spend that whole day together. And we just fed off of each other's energy, and I'm still in contact with the family today, and they're just really great. He's still alive and doing well. He's in his 20s. And so it's just special to create that bond and relationship through intensity and struggle.
Good for you for even contacting him and bringing him out there. That's really incredible.
I heard you say your girls run.
You know, it's interesting. None of my girls really enjoy endurance racing. Two of my daughters have done a marathon. In fact, my third daughter just did the Salt Lake City Marathon last weekend. We were out there supporting her. My two of my daughters, my second and my third, they've both expressed that they want to know what it feels like and what dad does. So they've committed at some point in time to do a full Ironman. And I believe my son will end up doing it too. He loves sports. He's into lacrosse. You know, triathlon and endurance racing is something you almost do later in your life, where there's not, as much access to team sports and whatnot. And you're just trying to push your boundaries and limits as an adult.
You push that on them, or it's just kind of if they want to get into it, you'll be there for them.
No, man, we really allow our kids to find their own passions, their own pursuits, and then we support them in that. I just don't think it's right when parents make their children do a sport that they love, and live vicariously through them. I can't get behind that. I think kids need to have their own passions, their own pursuits. And in doing so, they enjoy what they're doing more, and they do it on their agenda and their timeframes.
That's how we are with Marcus being in the SEAL teams. Everybody is like, are you going to make your boys go into the SEAL teams? Are you going to push them to do that? And we really never even talked about it with them. It was, if they have the fire in the gut, then great. But if not,
I want them to be professional golfers.
Yeah.
So I can have awesome scenery all the time. You know what I'm talking about, bro. Just kind of rolling.
I know. It's amazing. I was golfing yesterday. It's actually one of my other passions.
What are we even talking about?
Yeah, I know. Suffering out on the Ironman course, being on the golf course. What am I doing?
Y'all are playing golf.
Yeah, I'm actually fortunate. I spent a lot of time playing golf in my early 20s. I got down to a 4 handicap, and it's something that I really enjoy, and I get to do with my wife, and in fact, my son. He's 14, and he just said, "Hey, Dad, I think I'd like to try golfing." And I was like, awesome. But it's just one of the things, like, I didn't want to push it on him, and I wanted to have him, you know, kind of bring it up and do it on his terms.
That's awesome.
That's a great piece of parenting advice. Mm-hmm. I'm in that right now. I'm on a mid-level, so they're still trying to find themselves, and just I let them try to play every sport.
That was the other thing we did as parents is we wanted to make sure that we introduced them to as many sports as we can or could, and then allow them to choose which ones they gravitated to. And I think it's so important. I think kids specialize in sports too early in today's day and age, and it's leading to burnout and injuries and things like that. And so really encourage athletes, and especially my son, to do multi-sports and do sports in the season that they are. And so he wants to be on the traveling lacrosse team. And I said, no, in the off season, you get to play basketball, because he loves that too. And the story that I share with them is Wayne Gretzky, greatest hockey player of all time. Still today, his records are untouchable. Hockey season, he'd play hockey. And in the off season, he'd play baseball. And he wouldn't pull out his hockey pads until the hockey season came and it was winter again. And so if Wayne Gretzky can do it and have records from the 80s that still stand today, 30 years later, and he was a multi-sport athlete, then our kids should be able to do it as well.
Absolutely.
God, that guy could play some hockey, man.
Holy cow.
I didn't follow hockey because I'm from the South, but when that sucker was on TV, you'd watch. There, back in the day, there was a couple sports they had players. If it, they were playing, you watched.
It was like I grew up in Canada, and we had like one sports channel, but it was always Jordan and the Bulls on TV because he was such a special player of the era. And I love that with all sports. Like I don't have like a favorite team in any sports. I love watching the greats do what they're great at. Yeah. And I think we do a disservice to not appreciate those guys or compare goats from different generations. I'm like, I'm so thrilled I got to watch Jordan. I'm so thrilled I got to watch Kobe. I'm thrilled I get to watch LeBron. I'm thrilled I get to watch Steph Curry. They're just very different players in different eras. And I think the conversation needs to die and just appreciate what these athletes are doing and doing it at such a high level for such a long period of time. It's a gift to be able to watch.
Oh, you know why we do that? Because so we can fight that way and not physically.
Yeah, sure. But it always ends up in a
it physical. Always ends up in that. But I mean, I think the original point was for us to have something to argue about.
Sure. I agree. And no one's ever going to win the battle.
No, that's the point. And I mean, yeah. We'll still get into it though. That's great, man.
Can you tell us about your trip across Africa?
The one I just recently did?
The most recent one.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps, ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today for 10% off your first month.
Apply, equal housing lender, and membership is required.
Yeah, so recently I did what's considered the hardest mountain bike race in the world. It's the Tour de France of mountain biking. It's 8 days. I believe we did over 45,000 feet of climbing over those 8 days. And what's unique and fun about it is it's a partner race. And partner, not in the terms of like relay you hand off to each other, but partner race, you have to stay together. And so it's an endurance individual sport, but it adds in the element of teamwork, because in racing, especially over 8 days, you're going to have good moments, you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows. And you've got to sync up with your partner. And if he's not having a great day, you've got to hold back. You can't just take off and go when you're feeling good. And it was actually, for us, it happened on day 7 of 8. We both felt amazing on that day and just really threw down and crushed some times. And it was a lot of fun because, like I said, it's rare that you both feel so good on the same day and able to do that. And the race in South Africa, it starts in Cape Town, and you just traverse some incredible terrain and over some of the biggest mountain ranges there. But just really a special race. It was my second time doing it. It's miserable while you're doing it because there's so much climbing and so much just really hardcore mountain biking. And mountain biking is special. I think mountain bikers are the fittest of all the cycling modalities. because there's such a mental piece to it. Descending, you have to be so sharp, and the terrain is changing all the time, and one mistake and you're off your bike and down a cliff, and the crashes are in like really, really like bouldery sections and trees. I mean, it's just, aside from physical, you have to be so mentally sharp during every aspect of it. There's no moment where you can turn your brain off and just kind of cruise. And so it's super intense that way. But what a gift to be able to get out into these other countries and to compete and be on your bike and to be free spirits and just enjoying the outdoors and breathing the fresh air and at the same time pushing yourselves physically and mentally as individuals and as teammates.
So what do you do to get over your plateaus? Like to prevent burnout?
Oh man, I golf, you know, I have, from the outside looking in, it looks like, I'm super, extreme, which I am. I'm super unbalanced, which I'm not. I have a ton of balance in my life. I've got 5 kids. I spend a lot of time with my family. We are family first over here. My oldest daughter got married in January. My second daughter is getting married in September. Just been an incredible journey.
You like the guy?
Yeah, they're really good dudes. It's for the first time we've got 2 golfing buddies now.
Cool.
So that's kind of fun. But really, you know, to avoid those plateaus, you have to prioritize recovery. You have to prioritize sleep. You have to prioritize your health. You have to prioritize family and relationships. And so, again, from the outside looking in, it doesn't look like I have that balance. But man, do I ever? I really respect the time and the balance between all things. In fact, I just did a really nice, beautiful recovery 2-hour ride this morning with my wife. And it wasn't a hardcore training session, but it was more of a recovery one and an opportunity for us to just be up in the mountains and talk with each other. And so that's how you avoid burnout. You have balance, you have other hobbies, and you don't need to be super, super locked in and serious at all times and stuff like this, or you'll burn out and the enjoyment frankly goes away from it.
Have you ever had someone that you're coaching achieve something more than you have, like exceed your expectation, exceed something that you have accomplished?
I've definitely coached athletes that are more talented than I am, and that are faster, just in a single day event. I've coached athletes to multiple day challenges, and they've done great things. In fact, on our journey, I've always had 2 gentlemen with me. We call them the wingmen, Casey and Aaron, and both incredible athletes. And when we did the 100 consecutive Ironmans, Casey did all 100 marathons with me, and Aaron did all 50 bike rides with me, which were incredible feats of endurance in themselves. And actually this weekend, I get to switch roles with Casey. I get to be the support person. He's doing what's called the last man standing race. And basically 100 people start on the finish line, and you go and you do every hour you do 4 miles. And let's say you do 4 miles in 40 minutes, then you get a 20-minute break. But every hour on the hour, you have to start that 4 miles until there's one person left. And so he this weekend, it starts on Saturday at 8 a.m. and we could go all the way through till Monday. These races can go 100, 200, 300, 400 miles. And so it's super fun. He's a really great athlete. He's adapted our mindset principles. He can push, he can suffer. And I'm really excited to see what he can do this weekend in terms of really digging deep. He's got a chance to win this weekend, which will be fun and really special.
That's a hardcore race. I didn't know about that.
That's awesome.
It makes sense that you watch the evolution of how all these races are going, and it was a matter of time before we got to something like that. How long have they been doing that? What's it called again?
Last Man
Standing. Yeah, Last Man Standing. Oh. And they did a World Championships last year, and it went 400 plus miles. So it went over 4 days of running those distances on 20 hour sleeps at a time, 10 to 20 minute sleeps, 5 minute sleeps. Just remarkable. The race this weekend, it's here in Utah. It's at elevation. There is some climbing and gain as well on the 4 mile. It's a 2 mile out and back. They hope an athlete will make it over 24 hours. Casey's willing and ready to go until he's the last man. I've prepared and blocked off a schedule for 48 hours, which is over 200 miles. And he's also ready to run that distance.
Dang. I think our friend Mike Rouse has done that. Yeah, we call him Pops. Do you know Mike Rouse? He does. He does that kind of stuff. He does The Last Man Standing. And
well, do you guys know Chad Wright?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the team guy too. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Chad, there's actually a documentary on Amazon. I think it's called Just 1 Mile. And it's a last man standing race that he wins. And it's a 1 mile loop that they do on the 20 minute. And so every 20 minutes, you've got to do
it. In a minute. Yeah. Thanks for bringing him up, man. I need to check in with him.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, it's really good. Chad's a stud, man.
That's awesome.
So what do you got coming up?
For me, really just focusing in on my health. I'm getting ready for a big mountain bike race in Colorado, which is called Leadville 100.
Oh, 100 mile bike ride. You're doing that? You're going out to
Doing Leadville. Whole race takes place above 11,500 feet. It's a big challenge. I've got two small belt buckles just because I've kind of done the race on a whim. I'm actually going to train for it this year and shoot for that big belt buckle. It's just a race that's kind of eluded me that I've just always done in just kind of a training process, but never trained specifically for it. Really excited. Our new documentary is about to come out. So we did in 2015, after the second world record, we did 50 Ironmans in 50 days through all 50 states. And that's kind of the campaign that put us on the map. That documentary is on Amazon Prime, and the book that came out for that one's called Redefine Impossible. The documentary is called Iron Cowboy. And then when the pandemic hit, I'd always wanted to really find out what was possible mentally and physically. And so in 2021, we did 100 consecutive Ironman. So an Ironman a day for a quarter of a year, 14,000 plus miles, all to raise money to eradicate sex trafficking. We raised over $1 million for Operation Underground Railroad. And I'm super excited. The new documentary, we're doing a private showing here in Utah actually tomorrow at the time of this recording. And that documentary, I'll send you guys a copy of the unreleased documentary. It's really great. It's all about community. It's all about family. And check out the documentary on Amazon Prime from the 50. It'll really give you a sense of who we are as a family. And what I'm most excited about is our new book, Iron Hope. And it's scheduled to pre-launch and pre-sales May 8th. And then it'll actually, be shipped and sent out in January of 2025. I'm working with a fantastic publisher, same crew that did Jocko's book, same crew that did Cam Haynes' book. And, we've put a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy into this, because we've just found out that and discovered along the way that our family's willingness to suffer intentionally has given hope to people that are dealing with things in their own lives that they maybe didn't ask for in terms of abuse or addiction or illness, and how to navigate that in our minds and recognize, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. This is the situation. Now, how do I navigate around and through this, through this obstacle that I've been given?
That's awesome. We will purchase your Iron Hope book for all of our Patreon elite subscribers.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. May 8th, it launches. So I'll get that out to you guys.
All right. That's my kid's birthday, man. I will write that down. I can't forget it.
And write
down it's his birthday so I don't forget that.
Awesome.
So, wait, I've got a question. So who gave you, or how'd you get the nickname Iron Cowboy?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I first started racing, Ironman racing is literally the worst spectator sport on the planet. It's 140, miles long, and there's only a few places where spectators can kind of gather. We're zipping by them really quick when we go. And when I started racing, I had 5 kids in 6.5 years, and they were all really little. And they were super excited to see dad, and they would make these signs for me, and they'd hold them up. And a lot of times either they'd miss me or I'd miss them. And we didn't time it perfectly because tracking is never really great. And so we came up with the idea that I would wear a cowboy hat during the marathon portion of the run so that they could see me coming from way down the road. They could get their spot, their position, and hold up their signs to cheer dad on. And with my 4 daughters, it just became this really cool thing, and they'd pick different colored hats for me to wear. And so I've got this like big cowboy hat collection now. I'm not a cowboy. It's actually entertaining because
yeah,
I'm allergic to horses and hay.
Iron Cowboy.
Yeah, there you go. So it and then the public just started to call us Aaron Cowboy, and then it turned into this whole brand that we just latched onto. And it's been a lot of fun developing that brand again as an entrepreneur. I mean, you can see we've got merchandise and everything. This is the beard, and then this is the cowboy hat. I mean, we do tons of different stuff. So it's just a lot of fun. We've got a coaching career. We've got a mindset program. We've got masterminds online. We do live retreats. And then I speak. I do about 80 plus events a year. So it's really become full time for me over the last decade. And I've just really embraced it, have a lot of fun with it. And I think the biggest thing is we love just having impact on other people. And then again, setting that new standard every time, doing the 50 consecutive Ironmans through all 50 states, having the enjoyment of putting that documentary out. And just a really cool thing about leaving a legacy, and we really don't know the impact that we're having. There was this gentleman named Chris Nikic who has Down syndrome. And he was sitting there with his family, and they said, "Oh, what's this documentary?" And every Friday they watch a documentary together. And they ended up watching the Iron Cowboy doc. It was on Netflix at the time. And this Down syndrome boy, he just said, "Man, if he can do 50 Ironmans in 50 days, why can't I do one?" And his dad was like, "What are you talking about?" And so they got him running, and they got him a bike and taught him how to bike. And he ended up being the first ever individual with Downs to complete an Ironman. And then just last year, I had an opportunity. He was breaking the world record for the only person with Down syndrome to do the major marathon series. And so that's Chicago, Boston, New York, London, Berlin, and Tokyo. That's the world marathons. And I got to guide him and chaperone him through the Chicago Marathon last year when he broke that record. And so it was really cool. We truly have no idea who we're inspiring, who we're motivating. And he's got a massive following now, and he's gone on to inspire thousands of people, all because he just watched our documentary and something that we chose to do as a family. And so it's really, really cool. And so I think part of the message I want to make sure everybody understands and implements into their lives is to constantly just show up and pursue greatness for yourself, because we truly have no idea who's watching and when that person's going to change their lives and continue to impact and have that ripple effect that goes on and changes generations of people. And so it's just a lot of fun. And that's my challenge to people, is just to show up and push your own limits, because someone's watching, and it's going to motivate and change them.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being an inspiration to it, bro.
Yeah. Are you still wearing the cowboy hats on your races?
No, actually during the, and you'll see in the documentary that I'll send you guys about the Conquer 100, on day 51, I think it was day 51, I'd broken my own world record. I reset my own history from the 50, and I essentially retired the cowboy hat in that moment. And it was kind of a new beginning for me. And then we went on to do 50 more. And set that new standard of 100 consecutive. And then also, as you'll see in the documentary, I don't want to necessarily ruin it, but when everybody was done celebrating and we broke that record and it was a huge event on day 100, we shocked everybody, and we got up and we did one more. And so we ended up doing 101 consecutive. And the point of that was, sometimes in life, we're going to have to get up and do things when we don't want to. Or when the work is done, and it's really never done. And I never wanted to get on a stage anywhere in the world and say, "Hey, I get it. You can get up and do one more," if I didn't do it myself. Wow. And so I believe that leaders lead, and they lead from the front, and I'll never ask anybody to do something that I've never done before. And so I felt it was my responsibility as an athlete and as a leader to get up and do one more, even though the journey was quote unquote over.
What did that feel like?
You know, it was actually really cool to do that victory lap because we didn't tell anybody. And then we went live on Instagram, and I was swimming by myself. And the cycling community that had supported us that entire time saw me in the water by myself, and they were like, not today. We're coming out. We're supporting you. And it ended up being this really cool moment of just my core team. And I, and we laughed, we told stories, we reminisced over the past quarter of a year of a really intense struggle and sacrifice that we had done to raise that $1 million for the sex trafficking epidemic.
How'd that work your body when you were done?
Dude, it destroyed me, both physically and mentally. You got to think, 14,000 consecutive miles, no days off. It's, your body's just not designed to do that. There's no recovery in place. And the body just, you know, physics says the body will break at some point in time. And I was dealing with some pretty significant injuries. I was in a very bad bike accident on day 59, actually cracked my L5 vertebrae, and had to do 41 more consecutive to do what I said I was going to do, which was 100, despite the pain and discomfort. And again, that just showcases what we can do when we choose to put our focus and attention on a cause that's greater than ourselves. But it's taken me over 2 years to fully recover from that, both physically and mentally. My brain got stuck in fight or flight. I had multiple concussions over my career. I mean, I couldn't get back to parasympathetic. And so I had to really dig deep into rewiring the neurological pathways of my brain, getting back to normal to where I could function again at a high level, high capacity.
Well, there's your, you can find somebody who is really good at that level of instruction, because that's what happens to most of us. We get stuck in that side. It's a great place to live, I think. I mean, if you get in there, it's a great place to live. You just can't sustain it. You can't hang in there.
And yeah, it's not sustainable.
The body is designed to take some, I mean, you just proved that. Like, we really don't know what this thing's designed to take.
Well, and what it really did is it showcased the power of the mind. Right. But what was even more impressive was how malleable the brain is. And if you take the time, you can completely reset your system. You can totally recover your brain from post-traumatic, from concussions, from all these things we experience in life. And then as military, I mean, it's just another level. But what it does is it provides that hope. And the individual has to be willing to do the work and gain access to it. But Utah's got one of the leading facilities. It's called Cognitive FX. And athletes and military come from around the world to get this brain therapy and rewiring done.
Thanks for being a leader and inspiration in that, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How can our listeners follow your journey and everything? Where do they go?
Yeah, best place to go is to go to ironcowboy.com. It lists everything there that we do, links to all of our social media. I'm most active on Instagram, which is Iron Cowboy James. And we just love the support. We've got some really cool challenges coming up. We do a lot of things in networking events. I do a lot of speaking. We got the book that's coming out. The new documentary is dropping on the streaming networks. And so a lot of things happening. My daughter and I, we run my social media ourselves. I'm in my DMs all the time. If you have any questions, concerns, want to ask us anything, we're welcoming, man. We're all about community. We're all about helping everybody grow.
That's awesome.
I like that. Man, I got a question. I'm a little disappointed about the whole cowboy hat retirement thing. Are you going to, I mean, maybe you should wear cowboy boots. Should you try that, bro? You want to talk about, you want to be real hardcore? Come on.
All right, maybe I'll do an Iron Man in cowboy boots. How about that,
bro? I'll be there.
That's definitely a new one.
Talk about some blisters.
I mean, that's cowboying up right there. You were talking about going with your boots on, man. Mm-hmm.
That would wreck my feet, man.
No, bro, don't even try it. I'm just joking, for sure.
Do you have a tally going of all the major races and things like that you've done? Do you know what?
I don't know what the actual total is. I know I'm close to 200 Ironmans. I biked across the country. We were the first ever to bike to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa. I've ran across Greece. I've done every world championships in our sport. I just look at my career over the past 20 years, and I'm just humbled to have had the health and the opportunity and the means to be able to do these races. I know a lot of people can't. And that's really one of the gifts that I've recognized is that I get to. And I don't take that for granted at any point in time. A lot of the races that I do, they're one-time, lifetime bucket list for racers. And the fact that I've got to do most of them is awesome. And there's so many other cool races that I still want to do. I'm focused on my family right now. I'm focused on just overall health. But yeah, I'll always be active. I love riding my bike. If a new challenge comes up, single day, multiple, you know, 1 or 2 days of racing, that's fun. I got to do a race is called the World's Toughest Race in Fiji. It's a 10 episodes on Amazon Prime. Mark Burnett was the producer. Bear Grylls was the host. Map and compass every modality you can think of. We ascended 1,000-foot waterfall. We got to paddleboard down the Fijian River. I mean, it's just an incredible experience. And so, like I said, I don't take for granted 1 second the amount of really cool experiences that I've got to have.
for sure.
You and definitely have epic family photo albums.
I do, for sure.
Yeah. All right, yeah. You talk about explorers. I mean, look back in your history, bro. There's got to be some family members that were some explorers.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I don't know, but you know, I'm friends. You know, done some stuff with Ed Mylett, and he's pretty famous for saying, "Be the one," and be the one to change the generational line. And I've dug deep, man. I can't find anything in our line, and so maybe I'm the one to start a new line in our family.
Yeah, bro,
got to do
the
it.
Original explorer.
Yeah,
and I've also got to say that painting behind you. That thing is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what's that from? Oh, is that you? Yeah,
that is me. It's kind of bizarre. Random art shows up at my house. I've got sculptures. I've got really cool paintings. It's just a lot of fun to see the different kind of pieces that show up, and there's so much talent out there, and people like to just paint really cool moments. That was a picture that was the cover of a magazine, that they had done of me, and someone just did that. It's all dots. It's really cool.
That's cool.
That is,
yeah, cool.
Man, well, God bless you and your family. Yeah, brother, keep thank inspiring
you. Thank you guys, I really appreciate the time. You guys are legends in your own rights. Thank you.
Bet you, man. Take care.
Thank you, sir.